Bart and Logan are friends who met on the internet. Yeah, Logan and Tim are also friends who met on the internet. And Tim and Bart are buddies too. Now it's the three of them and you. Lots of danger at every corner, fighting androids and lots of monsters. Much more than a podcast. Well, I guess it's only a podcast. And now it's time for a podcast.
Ooh, 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 ooh. Welcome to BLT Lunch Break 27. And what a week it is. We had like some cool plans, Bart, to bring in like our special guest co-host, and then he had some car trouble. So unfortunately, It's just me and you again.
You might have given something away there. I don't know if you should have said that or not.
All right. I mean, was that public that he had car trouble?
I think he posted something about it on Twitter, it wasn't specific. So only true, tried and true, diehard BLTers.
Oh, I see that now. Yeah, he definitely did. He also tweeted.
All right.
Maybe he tweeted me about Kevin Smith coming here to the. To the Ryman Auditorium, the beautiful Ryman Auditorium, original home of the Grand Ole Opry here in Nashville, Tennessee. Sorry. Mm-hmm. That's how they always open. Welcome to the Grand Ole Opry. Like, it's very, for some reason, that was Garrison Keillor. They always intro when you go to the Ryman. It's always, welcome to the Ryman Auditorium. So it's just like this very specific, like, please keep your cell phones up due to the respect of the performers. It's like always this very, that and here at Zany's Comedy Club, that's like exactly the same. It's like, welcome to Zany's Comedy Show Place. How's everyone doing? Everyone cheers. It's like, if you parked in the Dollar Tree, the gas station, the apartment building, you will be towed. And now, here's your show. It's like, it doesn't set it up at all. It just kind of puts you in like a weird, because you always start thinking, because the way this is set up, like, did I park there? Did I? Because there's not a ton of parking at Zany's. I think I parked in that apartment complex, but someone told me to. I don't know what to do.
Jeez. Is it in like a strip mall or something?
It's in an old, it's like a historic kind of shopping district. So there's like stores and stuff connected to like antique malls and those kind of things. But it's not like in a strip mall, like a modern day strip mall. It's been there since our Zany's has been there, I think, since the 70s, early 70s. And so everyone.
As soon as I hear Dollar Tree, I'm thinking, oh, all right.
The Dollar Tree's across the street. There's a Dollar Tree across the street. It's in an area of Nashville that's fairly old. But, you know, Zany's has been a classic comedy club here for forever. I mean, it's the room itself is not necessarily the greatest room to ever be in. I love being it because the history just oozes out of it. But it is the reason these like headliners still play there is just like almost due to respect for the club and the club owners, because it just has such a legacy. It's really cool.
Yeah, our Zany's. I went to our Zany's last year. Sounds like I'm saying our Zany's.
Yeah,
our Zany's last year.
Mr. Zany's.
To see Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
Speaking of Kevin Smith, and it was weird. I don't want to say anything bad about Zany's. It was just a strange layout and just a very tiny, like, it struck me as odd that he actually had to come through the audience to get to the stage.
Yeah.
Especially because our improv is such a nice, like, theater setup, and they have a green room behind the stage, so the acts just come right out on the stage. And you know, of course, I've only been there to see Bert Kreischer, who then makes a point to come out and be among the people after the show. But whereas Kevin pretty much hightails it out of there as soon as the show's over. So.
Yeah. As we heard last week on my awkward encounter.
I forgot about that.
The comedy, our Zany's has a door right off the stage that goes into their backstage area. But I've been there, and it's like a tiny little room. A lot of times they're just hanging out in the street behind it, waiting for their show. Mm-hmm. And they have a little TV they can watch and see what's going on out front. But yeah, it's not anything. I mean, ours is definitely not anything like amazing, but again, maybe just because of the history, it has like a cool vibe. But yeah, I'm not planning on going to Zany's for a while. There's always, it comes in spurts when I go see comedy. Here we have the Wild West Comedy Fest we talked about, and I go to like every night I go to something that. And then it's like, all right, usually we get some comedy. I usually go back again in the colder months, I feel like, is when I do comedy. Like when it starts turning cold and I have nothing else to do and it's getting dark at 7 o'clock or earlier, getting dark at 5 o'clock, then it's like, all right, let's go do some comedy. But I haven't. I did go last night, though, to see Idina Menzel, Elsa, Queen Elsa.
She's hilarious.
And,
oh.
Yeah, I saw her. It's Queen Elsa. It's her stand-up act. She actually is very funny. And then tonight I'm going to see Queen. So, not at Zany's. So,
that's where are you seeing
Queen? Queen is playing. They're playing at our arena, at Bridgestone Arena, where the Predators play.
Uh-huh.
A little bit different.
With, are they, with, what's the kid from American Idol?
Adam,
is
Adam Lambert.
Still?
Yeah.
Adam Lambert. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, it looks
that's interesting.
The videos I've seen, like, they sold me. I was like, man, that looks awesome. I can't wait to see it. So, a big group of us are going to see Queen tonight. I'm excited. I've never seen any member of Queen, much less 2 out of 4. See, at least, like, they at least have something going for them where it's like those bands that are, it's no one from the band or it's one guy. At least they got 2, and at least the band was only a 4-piece. So, you're only really missing 2. And you're missing.
So, they have. Brian May is playing guitar, right?
Mm-hmm. And the drummer.
He'll never stop. Oh, and the drummer's the same. Okay.
Only difference, no bass player and obviously no Freddie. The bass player, I think, is just not up for it physically. And
yeah,
like other than obviously like Another One Bites the Dust, their bass lines obviously were iconic. But if I'm going to have to pick 2 members other than Freddie, guitar and drums are kind of that band. So I'm excited to see it. I think it'll be a lot of fun. But I saw Idina with all the other Disney fans that were there.
Mm-hmm.
She did a bit at the end where she plays Let It Go. And she was like, all right, every kid that's kind of below this height and kind of like goes to her waist. And it's like, anyone that's lower than this. And she had every little kid come up to the front, like on stage to sing Let It Go. And she like gave them each an opportunity to sing the chorus, which was really neat. But then there were a couple like the random like 17-year-olds or like, that were. Mm-hmm. And she was like, oh, some tall people. And then there, like, it was very, you could tell she was not thrilled. And she really, like, she interacts a lot with her fans and the audience, which is awesome, but sometimes it gets real creepy. Like, she had one woman run up on stage who was, like, hugging her and kind of inappropriately doing stuff, and she kind of ended that quickly. But she also kind of encouraged it because the way she, like, talks to the audience, like, that you expect some sort of response. She responds when people cheer or say something. But one guy next to us, we were probably on, like, the 4th row. And he yelled, it's in the rhyme, and so it's not a very huge auditorium, but you can always hear stuff. And he goes, Idina. She's like, yes. He goes, can you come down here for a second? And it got a little quiet, and she's like, what? Why? And then he's like, you're my, and he's probably in his mid-50s, I'll say that. You're my celebrity crush. And she laughs it off. It's like, haha, oh, is that your wife next to you? And he said, nope, I left her at home.
Oh, gosh.
And it got real awkward. And then people kind of laughed a little bit. And she said, well, you're scaring me, so I'm going to stay right here. And I was like, at least she like rubbed it right back in his face. Like, you know what? You can't really, treat someone like that, even if they're, talking to you back on stage. Don't be a creeper. But it seems to be that there was a good portion of that audience that was ready to be a little weird.
Yeah, that's yikes.
I know.
Yeah, I mean she's an attractive woman and all, but that's creepy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did she drop any spoilers about Frozen 2 or anything?
No, she didn't really talk about Frozen at all, which was kind of actually a little like she talks a lot, like tells stories about Wicked, tells stories about Rent. She didn't talk about Frozen, and she did. She did Let It Go, and she did a mashup, which isn't even her song, but she did a mashup of Dear Prudence and Do You Want to Build a Snowman? Because they're kind of similar. Like, when you think about it, because it's like, won't you come out and play Dear Prudence?
Yeah, it does kind of work.
Like, it
yeah.
worked in a weird way, but it's not her song in the movie either, so it's a little bit like, oh, this is an interesting choice. It was cool.
Yeah.
But it was, yeah, exactly. It was a different group of fans that were there. Like, I tweeted a video. She did this amazing, just no mic, just belted For Good, like a section of For Good from Wicked, and it was unbelievable. And the Idina fans on my Twitter account are blowing up. It's like been my most retweeted thing, probably that, and when Cat Stevens did the Zootopia speech, which I illegally recorded.
Cat Stevens, dude, why? I feel like I missed that. Wait a minute.
So, Cat Stevens, I saw him like, I don't know, 6 months ago, maybe closer to a year ago. I'm real bad with time these days of whenever things were. But Cat Stevens performed And he's like, there's a Disney movie that I love. And I was like, I know what movie you're going to love. He's like, Zootopia. And he then, and then he went on, he did Judy Hopps's, like her speech that she gives, kind of like her, you know, Zootopia is, you know, the place for, you know, this, that, and the other. The long speech, you have, like verbatim. He's like, doesn't care. And he's like, doesn't matter if you're a bunny, if you're a fox, if you're an elephant, or if you're a cat. And then everyone laughs. And I wasn't, like, they're very particular on do not record anything, but I was like, my Disney internet is going to love this. So I definitely, and my bootlegger came out and I recorded it. It got retweeted by the directors and all that stuff. That's probably my, from the WW Today account, you can still find it. That's probably my most retweeted thing because, like, the directors and writers of Zootopia were like, holy crap. You know, it's pretty awesome. And I love Cat Stevens. So it was a cool, like, weird Disney fanboy moment for a lot of people.
Yeah, I love Cat Stevens. So that would be cool.
Yeah. I love Cat Stevens more than I love Zootopia.
I was going to say the same thing.
Like, Zootopia, I know everyone loves Zootopia, but I think it's probably one of the prettiest Disney movies visually. It's unbelievable. And we may have talked about this before. It's just not my cup of tea when it comes to actually the story.
I do like it. The more I watch it, the more I like it. I agree with you. It got a little heavy-handed.
Yeah.
A little preachy. They're about a 5-minute segment where I'm like, all right.
We get it.
But yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I haven't seen it since that first time, like in the theater, so maybe the problem is I just wasn't anticipating it. And then all of a sudden I feel like I'm getting like, you know,
right.
This just like hammer drilled down on me. I'm like, okay, come on. Mm-hmm. Like we get it. I'm not against your
theory,
message. I like your message. It's just
exactly.
It's just enough.
So heavy handed. Right.
I'll go see the Emoji Movie instead. Did you see the Emoji Movie?
No.
I didn't,
goodness, no.
Well, I didn't know if the kids wanted to. I've seen a lot of stuff. I haven't seen it yet. I'm sure I will have to see it, though, at some point.
Yeah, even my kids said the Emoji Movie looks stupid. So if they don't like it, then I know I'm not. Then I'm not worried about it.
See, my kid said the exact opposite. He was like, I got to see it. I got to see the talking poop emoji, which is Patrick Stewart. So I'm kind of like, all right with it. I'm like, all right, I'll support anything.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Really? I didn't
know that. He plays the poop emoji.
The only person I know that's in it is James Corden plays the high five.
Yeah.
And I think I heard TJ Miller's voice because he's in everything.
Yeah, he is.
But
except for the show.
There's really nothing except for the show that he just quit.
Yeah.
The show that kind of made him. There's really nothing out right now. I was kind of looking the other day, although I did see last night. I was watching. I watched this show last night called it's called Big Star Little Star. It's on USA Network. It's a summer fill-in.
Mm-hmm.
It's a game show basically where they have a celebrity and their kid come on, and there's three of them on the thing, and they each get asked questions and the kids have to guess the answer of their parents. It's like one of those game shows where you have to, it's like, sure, a newlywed game. You have to guess what the other person would say.
Match game or something.
Yeah. And it's hosted by Kat Dealey from So You Think You Can Dance, who, speaking of attractive women, I'm a big fan of, my wife started watching So You Think You Can Dance from like season one, or when, actually, I don't think she was on season one, but anyway, whenever she started. And so I kind of watched it by default, and now I watch it every season. But I watched it on demand because Penn Jillette mentioned that he was on it with his son. I'm like, oh, I'd like to see that. And it was actually pretty interesting. It was Penn Jillette and his son Zoltan. Harold, I'm going to say his last name wrong, but Harold Perrineau, who was in Oz and Sons of Anarchy, and he was in Leonardo DiCaprio,
sure,
Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
And now he's on a show that my wife and I are obsessed with called Claws, which I can't believe that I'm watching, but it's awesome. It's about a nail salon, sort of, but it's also about the Dixie Mafia. It takes place in Florida. It's like,
cool.
It's like a who's guy that wrote Rum Punch and all those South Florida novels? Elmore Leonard. It's like an Elmore Leonard story. It's just crazy. It's like a crime drama, but it's funny and it's nutty and what. It's not safe for the kids. But he was on it with his daughter, and he's like nothing like any character I've ever seen him play. Like in Claws, he plays a guy with autism, and he's like, other than the fact that, you know, he's physically recognizable, but the performance is amazing. You forget that he's not actually like that, but. But anyway, the point of this long story was that since I watched it on demand, and it was from, I think it was from a few weeks ago. It wasn't that long ago, but I had to sit through a trailer for The Mummy, the Tom Cruise Mummy. And I was like, is this going to be for it coming out on video already? But no, it was like in theaters this summer. I'm like, oh, geez. But so I'm like, I wonder if that's like even still around anywhere. So I looked at Fandango. We have one of those. We have a cheap theater. I was going to say a dollar theater, but I think it's like a $3 theater.
I think we got a $2 theater here. So that's the.
Yeah. Times are tough now. It was the dollar theater when I was a kid. Yeah. But and it's there now. I'm like, I'm kind of tempted. I kind of want to go see it. I'm like, for a couple bucks, I just want to see how bad it really is.
I really want to see it. I mean, honestly, I love all the other, like the Brendan Fraser mummy movies. So I wanted to see it, but I didn't get to see it. Same with Pirates. I wanted to see Pirates 5, but I just didn't get around to it. So now I'm waiting. The only thing I want to...
Pirates is there too.
Yeah, I want to see
I'm
that.
I'm thinking about seeing them both.
And Guardians 2, it's playing weirdly one more time in our theater right now. I thought I'd take my wife, then I found out it comes out Tuesday at home. And I was like, I think we'll just wait.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it had a long theatrical run. But I want to see, we have a dollar theater here, a $2 theater, whatever it is, that is kind of sketchy. So it's, my wife doesn't love me taking my kids to there. Last time I was there for some 3D horror movie, and it's an interesting place. If you ever saw, there was news out of Nashville a couple years ago with like a guy at a movie theater who was crazy with an axe outside of the movie theater, and they ended up killing the guy.
Okay.
That was in front of that movie theater. So, which is...
I kind of remember that.
Yeah, so that's not a place that we usually go to too much. I would like to more, but my wife's not a huge fan of that. You mentioned the Sons, though, thing. Have you seen... I've only seen the trailer. I don't know if it's aired yet. Like the Rob Lowe and kids ghost adventures?
No, but I saw something on Yahoo about Rob Lowe swears he saw Bigfoot, or the Bigfoot is real, or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
so
what?
It looks unbelievably good. Like, I'm so excited to see it. But it's a man. It just looks awesome. It's Rob Lowe and his two teenage sons, or three, I think two, maybe three. And it was like how they used to bond over like searching for Bigfoot or searching for ghosts. And now they're older and they're teens, and now they're actually they did it kind of like as little kid things. Now they're actually going to go on these big adventures and try to find the unexplained. Wow. And the trailer is great. It definitely puts him in a different light as like a dad. You kind of like automatically like him more. I mean, I like him already. I've never been like not a fan, but like he humanized him really quick in the trailer. And I was like, all right, I'm in, man. I just have to figure out if I actually will sit down and watch it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a big Rob Lowe fan. And I know because I'm a little bit older than you. I very much remember the time when he was kind of
gone,
not blacklisted, got in a little bit of trouble. He didn't break the law, because the consent laws were different where he was, but in other places he would have broken the law. But yeah, he got in a lot of trouble for a while. He was kind of persona non ingrata until Lorne Michaels put him in Wayne's World, and that sort of rebooted his career. He did Wayne's World, and then he did Tommy Boy. And after that, it was like, okay, it's okay to like Rob Lowe again, and I'm glad because I think he's a great actor, and he's really funny too.
Yeah, I've always loved him.
Yeah.
So,
did you see? Thank you for smoking?
Oh yeah.
That was a big deal for him too. That was a great movie, but
oh yeah, I love that movie.
Yeah, you were talking about horror movies at that theater. Have you seen any of the Saw movies?
I have seen I think I've seen Saw 1 and 2. Or 2 and 3, maybe? I can't remember. Or maybe I've seen Scary Movie Scary Movie 5. Being in the theater and seeing Jigsaw. I think I've seen I think I maybe seen the first two. The second and third one are made by a Full Sail grad. So we were kind of, all of us Full Sail grads, a lot of us watched it just as like a support. But they are, they're not my thing.
You wouldn't think they're my thing. I don't really like slasher movies and blood and guts movies, which is ironic with what I was talking about earlier today. But I have seen every Saw movie.
Wow.
From 1 through 27 or whatever they're at. And I saw the last three in the theater on opening night. And I don't know why, because, again, I don't like these movies. But I was a girl that I worked with. I was working in a bank. It came up that I'd never seen Saw. I think it was because... And this, you're the guy to talk to. A few years ago, this was more than a few years ago, Halloween Horror Nights had a Saw house, right?
Oh, yeah. They've totally done it. There's a good chance this year we're getting something.
I was looking at, that's true, too. But I remember we were sitting in the bank. It was a slow day. This is so out of character for me, but I ended up looking at the Horror Nights website. And I'm talking, this is like 08 or 09, something like that.
Yeah.
And it was one of the years where I think they were doing something with Jigsaw. And it came out that I hadn't seen any of the movies. She's like, what do you mean you haven't seen them? I'm like, I don't really like those kind of movies. She's like, they're so different. The first, and I said, you know, I remember hearing the plot for the first one thinking, that's creative. I'm like, it's not my thing.
For sure.
But it's creative. Like, what are you willing to do to save your own life? Are you willing to cut off your leg, you know? Plus, I'm like Danny Glover, Cary Elwes.
No, yeah. Actor. I mean, they're good movies. Like, the first one is a good, it's kind of like the first Purge. Like, conceptually, that's a great concept.
Yeah. So she goes, here, I'm going to bring you the first, I'm going to bring you the first three and you watch them. And then I'll bring you the, and look, she had them all on DVD. So I watched like the first whatever half dozen and I watched them pretty quickly, like not in the same day, but within like a month or two. And then it was like the first one, I'm like, oh, that's really good. That was really cool. Second one, I'm like, eh, it's still good. It's in, but, and then you get to a point where I'm like, well, now I have to see this through. Like, where is this going? Because early on, they kill Jigsaw, right, like in the franchise. That's, spoiler alert, he dies in like the second movie or third movie. I can't remember. It's the one with Donnie Wahlberg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the first one, he dies. But he's back.
Yeah. But somehow he's back. And now there's a new Saw movie coming out called Jigsaw. And but I thought it was supposed to be a prequel, like how did Jigsaw become Jigsaw? But we kind of already know. We saw how that happened.
Yeah.
So I guess this is not a prequel. It's a sequel, but he's,
I
think it is Tobin Bell's voice, but I don't know.
I mean, I may see it. I probably won't see it theatrically. That's like, I want to see it, but I probably will not see it theatrically. I just,
It I won't see theatrically. I remember watching the miniseries and it messed me up.
Oh,
so.
My wife, I love Tim Curry. She doesn't hear this. It terrified her as a kid. Because she saw it, like, when it aired originally, maybe on VHS a couple years later, but, like, when she was a child. Mm-hmm. And it messed with her so much. I met the, at a Comic-Con, like, he was the writer or the screenwriter or maybe the producer or director. Maybe it was the director. And, like, I got her, like, a signed It poster that was, like, you know, mm-hmm. it was something creepy. And, like, it hung on our fridge for a while, I think until we had kids. And she was like, okay, we have to take this down.
Just to go. It was amazing, too, because it had such a great cast the second half, which I wonder if it, I don't know if it's the same, if this new one's going to do the same thing. Will they always be kids or do they become adults later in it? Because the miniseries, the first half, the first 2 hours was when they were kids, but I think it was flashback. And then it was like Harry Anderson. It was like every 80s NBC sitcom star was like
and
the
Tim
star
Curry.
Of the movie It. And Tim Curry, yeah.
That's awesome.
So,
I don't know.
All I remember specifically was Harry Anderson.
I haven't dug enough into it to see, like, who's coming, like, how they're going to structure the story. I just haven't spent my time on it.
But I do feel like I might have to go see Jigsaw in the theaters just to keep the streak alive.
For your tradition.
I've seen the last few.
Yes, you think you need to. I felt that way about it. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I don't remember what I was going to say. Go.
I started watching The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Beginning on Netflix last night, which was made, I think it was 2006.
Yeah.
But I didn't get very far into it, but I was kind of into it. I don't know. Now I feel like I've never seen any. I've seen the first probably 20 minutes of the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Like, I just remember the guy in the van saying, you like head cheese? And then, like, cutting his hand open and smearing blood. And that's kind of like where I checked out. I'm like, I don't think I'm going to like it. If I can't handle a guy cutting his
brutal,
hand.
It's brutal, yeah. It's interesting
because
I feel
interesting.
As like the ship movies have, like, the later we've gotten in the more recent, maybe it's just being an adult also probably helps. It's like some of the horror has gone to the point of just like it's so maybe realistic that it doesn't connect with you as much. But some of that grittier stuff, like the original Texas Chainsaw is just nasty. The original, even some of the original like Jason and Freddy movies, like because everything was physical effects, it wasn't CGI. That it just has a different vibe that's both fun, more fun, like in a weird way. Like, I like the campy horror. Like, I'm a big fan. It doesn't really get, it gets its love. But like, I'm a big fan almost because it was almost a parody of it, of the Scream series. Because I think they did it like the best of having both this really scary but also really ridiculously fun storyline. Mm-hmm. It goes a little off the rails when we start getting into Scream 3 and 4. But it was pretty fun. It was a pretty fun whole series that I really enjoyed. But it's that kind of – but again, they also do the same thing. It's not – there's not a whole lot to it when it comes to what it is. It's a guy with a knife and, you know, deal with it. And I kind of dig those. But I don't know. There's not a – I haven't gone to a horror movie in the movie theater Man, I can't tell you how long. Scream 4 was probably the last one, and that was many years ago.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't like usually watching the Blood and Guts movies, which, again, I don't know why I saw the Saw movies.
Yeah.
But especially one of the last, it might have been the very last one, was in 3D.
Yeah.
And that was like, it was like, I already know what's going to happen before. And yeah, sure enough, like, at one point, somebody's intestines come flying at you and splatter on the screen and things. But that's not. I'm more of a. I like monsters, though.
I do too.
Cool, like, creature movies and stuff. So
yeah, I'm right there.
But even those, like, you don't get a lot of those. I mean, I guess you could say Alien is kind of one of those, but I don't consider that horror. It's still sci-fi. Yeah.
Stranger Things is maybe the closest thing of current popularity. That's kind of that.
Yeah, I didn't like the monster in that. I thought his face was weird, the way it opened up like a flower.
Yeah, I don't like looking.
Like, how would he actually eat?
I don't like looking at that thing.
Yeah.
Though the trailer,
I really like
Stranger Things too.
Did you ever see The Relic?
I don't know if I've seen The Relic. I don't think so.
That was one of my favorites. Even though it's the movie, I read the book first, and the book was really creepy.
Yeah.
The movie came out, I think, the mid to late 90s with Tom Sizemore and Penelope Ann Miller. It took place in Chicago at the Field Museum. So
in the late 90s, I was more like a Final Destination kid.
Yeah, that's true.
When was the first Final? I watched that movie in the theater, and that was like probably, again, I've seen probably like The Blair Witch Project. I've seen probably only like a dozen horror films in the theater. Like that's kind of like that aren't considered sci-fi. Like you said, that aren't one of the Alien series, that aren't, you know, that exist like in this plane of existence. And yeah,
it had to be late 90s.
Yeah, it had to be the late 90s.
Wasn't Devin Sawa in all of those?
I think
he's kind of like a late 90s kid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I thought he was going to be the next
The
big
original
thing.
One was 2000. So close.
Okay.
Enough. Well, so close enough. Yeah. I remember we snuck in because I'll make you feel old. I was not old enough to see an R-rated movie yet in the year 2000. And I remember we went on a why not? I'll tell the story. This is a story that I don't really tell a lot. My buddy had set us up on the blind dates. So 2000, I was only like 14. Blind dates that he met on AOL Instant Messenger.
Jeez.
We had to all sneak into Final Destination. I mean, it sounds like a John Hughes movie, a John Hughes 90s movie, but it was that was kind of the end of that. And I remember going into this being like, yeah, this is a bad idea. What if these people were men who could kill us? And you set us up, dude. Thanks a lot. He's now a DJ in New York, so I'm going to say shout out to him. And not a D, like he's like he's also like an MIT grad, so he's like a genius / DJ, DJ Latrone. That's right. Look him up. Let him know you heard about him here.
Oh, like a DJ, not like a radio DJ, like a DJ.
No, not a radio DJ, nor like you were a DJ. Like sort of like a. He has some really good Star Wars stuff. He's a huge Star Wars fan. We were kids. We went to kindergarten together, and we were big Star Wars fans together. You can find his Star Wars mix that he did, I think, around The Force Awakens. That's actually pretty darn good. So take a listen to that if you like kind of club music. As we know, Bart does.
Yeah, of course.
Well, Bart.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe we haven't talked. What? How did we not talk about this yet?
What?
There was a big story yesterday in the news about Logan, this is Gene Simmons from Kiss.
Oh.
I want you to know that there's somewhere in America there's a cow that is impersonating my likeness. We've already filed suit. You know, Kiss is the largest rock band in the world. We trademarked all cows. No cow could dress the demon. I was the demon. We'll be serving that cow at one of my 27 rockin' brews in the Chicagoland area. No cow will impersonate the demon without feeling the sting of the Kiss army and the Kiss legal team.
Well, that's exactly what happened. So if you guys don't know, there is a cow that has eerily similar, you know, tongue out and everything. His pattern is very similar to the demon Gene Simmons Kiss character. And Gene liked it, though. He tweeted out his support for that cow.
That's good.
He didn't take it too seriously. But I love one of my favorite things that Kiss does as a band from like a marketing point of view, which they do obviously a lot, is they tweet out kind of whenever Kiss is in pop culture.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so much, like whether it's a TV show, whether it's, you know, there's just so many different options. And like right now, this is Kiss is everywhere is the hashtag. And you can find like all the random places. Oh, I have my voice cracked there. So you can see obviously the cow. You can see, you know, if Kiss is just in the background or like a T-shirt of a character is wearing a Kiss shirt. It is fun to see like how much they've permeated pop culture to where it is kisses everywhere. And you know, Kiss is synonymous with a lot of you can tell when they're building
right,
these
kisses everywhere.
Yeah, there's kisses.
Don't you forget it.
But even just like when clearly like an art director, when they're like, oh, we need something that's gonna evoke the 70s, 80s, or 90s, they're like, Kiss. You know, it's interesting that it keeps kind of keeps living on. And I mean, I love them, so I've been a Kiss fan since I was a child, and I'm a huge fan. But I look at their, you know, I look at everything from a kind of a skewed point of view. I know you do as well, just because of what we do for a living. So looking at like from a marketing point of view, you can get, yes, there is time where they go over the top and it gets too heavily branded. But there are times where it's like, you guys are masters. I look at the same right now, what's going on with a wrestling team you should be following called the Young Bucks that are these two, you know, probably my age, probably 30-year-old guys who aren't on the WWE but are on Ring of Honor and in New Japan. And both of them have, and along with their whole little club, the Bullet Club, have built this brand that like you can go into any Hot Topic store in America and buy their shirts, but they're not even on a weekly. They're on Ring of Honor, but Ring of Honor is it's a syndicated show. It's on the Sinclair networks, which is great, but they're very. It's not on like Monday nights USA 7 to 9. Like it's an independent wrestling show by all means, other than like, it's owned by a big television company, but it's very much an indie style show. And you just look at the way they interact on social media and the way they're marketing it. They have 170 or something like that t-shirt designs on their website. And they've built just this like cult following, and they're a totally different style of wrestling. They're really funny and over the top and ridiculous. Kids like them. Adults like them. My son's really who like he saw a clip of them and was like, well, what is that? And he got me into them. And I don't want to like compare them to Kiss because I know a lot of people think that's negative. But to me, that's a positive is they have this sort of, I don't know, this mainstream appeal while having no real mainstream outlet. And they have like a YouTube series that they've created themselves called Being the Elite. And man, it's just, I don't want to talk too much about wrestling. I know you guys hear enough about wrestling, but they're like, that's like a case study for grassroots marketing right there. The fact that anyone who's listening to this right now in the States can walk into their mall and assuming they have it, they've sold out 3 times just in the month of July. I met the Hot Topic regional manager and he was talking to me about it because I bought the shirt and he's like, yeah, we can't keep them in stock because this like small group of loyal fans, I mean, obviously not that small, but you know, that is taking over. And the fact that you can go into any of your local malls and buy their merchandise is pretty insane for someone who isn't on a mainstream television show or network, or not even on like Netflix. Like it's not even something like that where you could say that they're just, they built it a lot of it themselves.
So, yeah. Listen, Logan, you want to talk about selling out? This is Gene Simmons from Kiss again.
Okay. Thank you.
The Kiss Wrestling Federation will premiere in 2018. You can forget about the WWE. The Kiss Wrestling Federation will be the biggest wrestling sensation in the world. Shannon Tweed will be the Stephanie McMahon. And I will just sit in the back and collect checks from everyone who comes in. You will have 172 t-shirts at Hot Topic. I have trademarked Hot Topic because their lettering looks too much like Kiss. And Gene Simmons will be the new Vince McMahon.
Did you know there is...
Shannon Tweed will be a congresswoman.
I don't want to burst your bubble here, Gene, but did you know that there was... that Kiss was involved in wrestling in the 90s?
I figured they had to be.
There was the wrestler, the Demon, who dressed like Gene.
Oh, really?
And Kiss performed on... look, I love WCW. I'm a WCW fan for life. Eric Bischoff is a good friend of mine and someone I've been working with for the last year, kind of a mentor of mine. But I think it's historically known the lowest rated segment in WCW history was when Kiss performed. And
oh, geez.
Right after that, they premiered their character, the Demon. Obviously, I watched. I was a huge Kiss fan. I loved the angle. But that was sort of the time where all of a sudden, like, Master P was on it, the ICP were on it, and Kiss had characters. It was an interesting time in wrestling towards the late 90s. Now that I'm thinking about it, it's way weirder than I remember. But, yeah, they were definitely involved. Yeah, so, I mean, they've been to the Arena Football. They've been everything.
That can't be any weirder than the time that – and I don't even know how I saw this, but Jeremy Piven was on the WWE –
oh, yeah. Like
Monday Night Raw or something, promoting the goods, Live Hard, Sell Hard, as a salesman. A movie nobody saw where he played a car salesman.
Yeah.
And he was on the WWE Monday Night Raw as his salesman character.
Yeah. And he was himself, but he jumped off the top rope onto a guy.
Yeah.
There was a streak there for like a good year and a half where every week there was a celebrity guest host of Raw. So he was one of those. That time has passed. Well, I know we're like halfway through the show. You want to answer some questions or comments here that came in from the lovely people?
Oh, sure. We're going to do something organized? Why?
I don't know.
Why not?
I was going to say. Oh, did you see the Did you see the Stranger Things 2 trailer?
I did. I actually just watched it recently. I'm into it. I'm excited.
I'm excited.
You know, sometimes I don't come back for season 2 even on things I like, but that one I'm definitely going to check out. I just felt like I loved season 1. I felt like it was maybe an episode or two too long.
Yeah, I could get that.
Which I kind of feel about a lot of the Marvel series too, but this one with the big thing in the sky and the way they use Thriller, I mean, come on.
Yeah, I tweeted and I agree.
I'm going to tell you.
This is the Ghostbusters movie I've been waiting for. Like, this is.
Yeah, right.
Like, this is what I wanted so much out of a Ghostbusters sequel, and I feel like they've finally made it. I'm so excited just for that. Like, obviously, there's tons of Ghostbuster references and they're dressed in costume, but, like, it has that vibe. Like, it has this funny but scary vibe, and I dig it. I dig it more than I did during the first season. Promotion. Like, I watched it way late. Like, when everyone else was done, I got sick one day and I watched it. Same time when I watched The Ranch, I binged The Ranch. I said the last time this season, I told my wife, I was like, well, I gotta wait till I get sick to watch season 3. we did end up watching it though. But that's kind of how it did, and that's what got me into Stranger Things this last time. But this one, I will be day one, even if my wife isn't watching it, saying, I'll be alone in here, smiling and grinning and hopefully enjoying.
Yeah.
All right.
Plus, it's going to have a ton of like cool like cameo. Like Paul Reiser is going to be in it, and Sean Astin's in the trailer. You actually see him.
Yeah.
You know, real quick too, what I wanted to say. Speaking of Netflix and horror movies and all this stuff, and even I think it kind of reminded me of Final Destination. After I watched the trailer for Stranger Things 2, it recommended another trailer for a movie called The Death Note.
Okay.
Which is also going to be on Netflix I don't know when.
Yeah, they premiered that at Comic-Con. I didn't see it, though. But I saw they, like, revealed a big, like, there was a big hidden banner, and then they revealed it, day 3 for Death Note.
The trailer looked, well, I watched the trailer, but even more so, I watched an actual clip from it. It looks so good. It's something about, like, a demon comes to a kid and gives him a book, and whoever's name he writes in the book, he writes down a name and how, and they'll be killed. They'll die. So, like, he sees this bully, like, pushing this girl around, and he writes the kid's name down, and the demon's like, how? And it's Willem Dafoe, by the way. But the weird thing is, you only see the silhouette of the demon and his eyes. He looks like Hades from the Hercules cartoon. So I'm kind of psyched to see what they do. I hope they really show him at some point. He's like, write down how. And he writes down decapitation. I was like, oh, man, I got to see this movie.
Well,
so anyway,
being not a horror fan, it seems like you are very much like you're in the zone right now.
I'm kind of in a zone right now. I'm kind of working on something that I tweeted out about. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm just, it's where my head's at right now. So
see, I want to be there. I talked about this on Scare Zone is, you know, Horror Nights promotion is usually what gets me in the Halloween spirit. And right now they've been pretty lackluster and not a whole lot of going on in the Horror Nights world. So I haven't had a whole lot to like sink my teeth into, but I did walk into Costco the other day and they already got them. They're starting to get all the decorations out. So I'm starting to.
Well, when we're done, look up the trailer and the clips for the Death Note.
I will.
I think it'll get you kind of. I think actually I'm like surprised Universal doesn't jump on that for a house because that thing, he's a cool kid. He'd make a good icon actually.
Yeah. But I mean, that's what everyone was hoping for Stranger Things also, but I don't see that happening. I think there's so much paperwork, you know, to get through with that stuff that it's not as.
Sure.
It's not as easy as it would sound. All right, let's see what some questions are. A lot of these we've answered before, so either you aren't listening, or you really want us to repeat ourselves. Jake says,
which is fine.
Can you talk about your favorite Disney vacations, whether they be resorts or just at the park? We don't usually go dive deep into Disney stuff, but do you have any that stick out? I know that we've been talking back and forth about some of your trips from the mid '80s.
Yeah. I mean, my favorite, yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, they're all favorite for different reasons. The first time I went to Disneyland with my son was awesome. He was only 2 at the time, but it was an amazing experience for us. I mean, that's even why I'm so fond of the Rainforest Cafe, because we ate dinner there the night before, which is like the first time I'd eaten there, like, since I'd been there once before 10 years earlier. So that's why I kind of like the rainforest now, because it reminds me of that one, which is also an amazing rainforest out there. But
yeah.
And then, like, you know, 1984, going to Walt Disney World for the first time with my grandparents. And, you know, like I said, it's so, like, I get so sentimental about those old attractions. And as they're about to close another one, it's like, oh, it's killing me.
I have
otherwise,
to.
I mean, they're all different.
Yeah, it's kind of how I feel. I just experienced one of my worst ones, so I will try to defer back to my best ones. First, I went on a Disney cruise, and the Disney cruise I did with my son. Both those are the most relaxing Disney vacations you can take, I believe, once you actually get on the boat. Getting onto the boat is stressful, but once you're on the boat, it's one of the best, most relaxing Disney experiences. It feels like a true vacation, unlike going to the park sometimes. And then, I don't know. Obviously, when I got married, I'll say that one because I have to. All right. Brooke says, what are the strangest things that you collect? For example, I collect pennies and Funko Pops. I'm currently collecting specifically Japanese Hulk Hogan memorabilia.
Oh, all right.
Because it's like pre-Hulkamania era Hulk Hogan, Ichiban Hulk Hogan from New Japan Pro Wrestling. And I don't know, like I bought like a vinyl recently from there. There was like a record that just like, Hogan, Ichiban number one. It's like, it's ridiculous. I don't know. It's something kind of quirky that I love the imagery of it because it's not at all like Hulk Hogan we know. It's like black trunks, all Japanese. I don't know. I dig it. It's sort of a random wrestling thing I just started collecting. You got anything?
I don't really collect. I don't have a – no, not – I mean, I used – like, I went through a phase in my late 20s into my early 30s where I was really into Legos. I mean, I still am, but I wouldn't call that a collection. I just actually liked building them and stuff. And I've got tens of thousands of dollars worth of Legos down in my basement that have all been destroyed by my kids. So they're just in big Rubbermaids. Like, I had the first two or three movie Harry Potter sets from the movies. – So I had all of Hogwarts. I had a giant Hogwarts that I put together with all the different classrooms and stuff. That's been destroyed. And you know, that was when they were still using yellow figures. Like now they do flesh tone figures, and I don't like them as much. I like the yellow ones better. But I don't know. I've got a handful of pop vinyls. Actually, just last week I bought four because I went to there's a store here called Second and Charles or something like that. I can tell it's a division of Books a Million and Borders. Because it's like walking into a Borders again, just with less books, more tchotchkes.
I like
that. They had a bunch of pop vinyls for 50% off. Oh yeah, if you were a Borders fan, look for a store called Second and Charles. It's like Borders again. It just doesn't
matter. I loved Borders.
Yeah, it smells like Borders. It feels like Borders. Sells the same crap Borders used to sell. It's amazing. So I bought like four Harry Potter vinyls. I had the original Dumbledore, so I bought the second Dumbledore. I got Harry. I got Ron in his dress robes from Goblet of Fire, and I got Professor Snape. So I did do something, and I probably shouldn't even say this publicly because my wife doesn't know, but in a moment of – well, you know, you saw that I subscribed to the Harry Potter loot crate box to see what I would get, which was mostly junk, but had a really cool T-shirt, which everybody who saw that video was like, oh, my God, that shirt's amazing, and it was – of course, the first time I put it on, I realized that the stitching had a big rip in it in the side, but they are replacing that. Look, Loot Crate was actually, their customer service was amazing.
Oh, yeah, they're great.
I tweeted about it. They responded immediately on Twitter, said, email this address. I did. They responded the next day on a Sunday and said, we'll get back to you this week. And I had yesterday, they emailed me and said, we'll send you another shirt. So that's done and done. But will I keep subscribing to it? I don't know. It's an every other month, so I got some time to decide. But the other night, speaking of pop vinyls, I've been looking at this for a while, but I was like, that's so much money. And then I just broke down and did it. I subscribed to the Funko Disney Treasures box.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Because I saw one of the old ones, which was Pirates themed. They're all like themed kind of to the parks in a way, but not specifically. So one was Pirates themed, and it had a Mr. Smee pop vinyl. It had this big vinyl like Wicked Wench with the old pirate captain inside it.
Cool.
And it had a Jack Sparrow thing and some other stuff. I was like, oh, that looks so cool. I actually saw it on Adam the Woo's vlog because he bought one at D23. So I was looking, and the next one, which comes out next month, is it says Tiny Town, and they keep showing Tinkerbell and Pinocchio, but you don't really know what's in it. So I finally broke down and did it. It's like, what is it? It's $40 with shipping for each box, which I know like isn't a great deal of money, but it's still, it's $40 on
$40
junk,
a month,
really,
yeah.
On toys. Luckily, it's every other month. Okay. Still. So I subscribed to get the next one. And then as soon as I subscribed, it was like, you can purchase old boxes. I'm like, what?
Uh-huh.
So I went and bought the Pirates box. So in one night, I spent $80 on vinyl toys.
It happens, brother.
As my 42nd birthday present to myself. So
treat yourself right. Treat yourself like a 42-year-old, 42-year-old man. Buy yourself some pop toys.
I just don't have anywhere to put stuff to collect, you know. But whatever. I want that Wicked Wench from my shelf. So
yeah,
it's coming.
That's awesome.
It's on the way.
I subscribe to the regular Loot Crate, which is it's been a little miss recently, but usually it's like this month was nothing I wanted. But I've been a member for years, and it became just sort of a tradition. My son and I would just, every time something comes, it's a very exciting moment. We open it up together, and sometimes I sneak a peek because sometimes I'm like, it's all murder themed. You're like, oh, great. Like my son has a stuffed, my wife may be like, hide it, a stuffed Leatherface that like looks like real cute. She's like, he can't have this.
Okay.
So I subscribed to that one. And then I recently started subscribing to Pro Wrestling Crate, which is not – WWE has one through Loot Crate, but this one is sort of like indie wrestling. And they actually – every time, they just know their audience really well and put out stuff that 90% of what they put – yes, it's junk, but it's all either hilarious or stuff that I'll use. There's always a koozie. There's always a T-shirt. There's typically a koozie and a T-shirt, lapel pin, and usually themed out really cool, and these little cool figures that are exclusive to there that I really like. So that's I guess we answered that. Yeah. Let's see what else we got. We can answer this one quick. Ryan said, I think we've answered this before, but maybe not. What are your guys' dream trips with kids and family or without? I've been saying I want to go to Japan soon, and I'd like to actually go with my son, but when he's older. Like, I'd like to go when he's like 10.
Yes, I don't really have a big desire to go to any of the foreign parks. I'm all American.
Oh yeah, I don't really care about going to Japan for Disney. I just want to go.
You just want to go to go.
Want to go to Tokyo and Osaka. I want to just and everywhere. I just want to experience. It just seems like a culture that I dig. I like all the stuff that comes out of there.
Yeah.
So I feel like I would enjoy it. Oh no! It just seems it's always been on my bucket list, but it's such a flight. It's like I got to get to LA and then fly 11 hours, or fly like in a crazy 18 hours. Like I'd like to go with my son, you know, when he's a little older. So maybe I'll go in 5 years or so.
Osaka does look cool. I remember watching Anthony Bourdain, in Osaka, and it looks not only looks amazing, the food looks incredible. I was like, oh my gosh, I would just eat and eat and eat.
Yeah.
And
they still have the jobs.
I guess. Oh, that's true. Non-Disney wise, I mean, I would love to go to Germany. I'd love to go all over Germany, especially for Oktoberfest, obviously.
Yeah.
I would actually really like to go to Paris and France in general. As for a Disney, I mean, dream Disney trip, I just want to get to a place where, like, I don't have to worry about, like, what it costs. Like, I want to stay in a deluxe villa. I want to go for 10 days, you know. So we're not rushed. So we can have time where we don't go to the parks too, or just hang out at the pool, or go to Disney Springs, whatever. I want to be able to just do all that without worrying about the cost. I want to be able to do a fireworks, like do the Illuminations fireworks cruise, where you go out in the, on the pontoon boat, which I've done once before and I loved it. I'd like to do that again.
I've never done it. I've always considered it, but I was never sure.
Ugh, it's the best way to see Illuminations.
Awesome.
It's so great. You don't have to worry about getting a space early. You know, you get on, you board at the yacht club or yacht and beach club right in the middle. There's that pier there.
Yeah.
The lighthouse. They do a turn around the lake first. So you see all the hotels. You get a nice little cruise. Then they come right up the friggin' International Gateway Channel and right. Anybody who knows that bridge between Paris and the UK, you come right out from under that and you just kind of moor right past that in the water. And you're like, it's the best. There's nobody in front of you. Nobody's talking around you. It's perfect.
Awesome. I'll have to do that next time. We just got back from San Diego. My wife and I it's a trip that we've done already, but we're definitely talking about going back to San Diego. We loved it. And it was a
non-Comic-Con
time. And I'd love to go back to Comic-Con now that I am reminiscing on it. I'm kind of getting nostalgic for it already. But I definitely want to go back to spend more time in San Diego. It's not too bad of a flight, and it was expensive. So that's the one problem. All right. Let's see what else we got here. I know you need to start wrapping up soon.
Oh, yeah.
Simon and Julie said, hey, guys, this may be too long for us to answer. What got you guys both into podcasting, vlogging, and blogging? Keep up the good work. And it says work even with the tracker. I assume he means without, or he says he knows something we don't know.
maybe.
So do you have a quick answer to that?
I always wanted to be in radio. I loved radio since I was a kid. I love talk radio and radio personalities and whatnot. I had a radio show in college for a couple of years, which got me in a lot of trouble, but it was fun. So, you know, and then, I don't know, I just got it, you know, it made sense to get into podcasting. Like, I got into podcasting through Ricky Gervais first, and then through Kevin Smith, and then I was like, oh, I wonder if there's any Disney podcasts, and I discovered Lou Mangiello, who's like the godfather of Disney podcasts, and then, I don't know, that after a few years of listening, I'm like, I would like to do one of these, and when the book was coming out, I met with a friend who had done one before, and so he kind of helped me start and produce my first show, and then I just got it, and then vlogging kind of just, you know, same thing. I was like, well, I could do that, I think, you know, especially now that all you need is a phone, you know. Yeah. I know, like, some vloggers like Tim and some others use, like, big, you know, expensive cameras and things, like, but, you know, you could use an iPhone, too. That's what Adam the Woo does, and he's got hundreds of thousands.
Yeah,
hundreds of thousands of subscribers.
Could have said it better.
You know, you can do it on your phone, edit it on your phone. Even my podcast, I've been recording on my phone lately.
Yeah.
It's just easy, you know, and it sounds like the one I put up this week, the podcast itself sounds pretty good. The intro is a little jacked up because I was in a hurry and my son was literally standing over my shoulder making noise when I told him not to, but so I just didn't have time. I didn't want to. I was like, you know what? It's good enough.
Yeah,
just slap exactly. It in there and go, but... You know, that's the beauty of it. It's so easy to do. Anybody can. I encourage everybody to try it. So
yeah, one of the things I say, like, not that I do it often, but occasionally, like, a group will, like, be like, hey, Logan, come speak to us about media or whatever. Because one thing I've always been wanting to do in my career in media has been to have my hand and to try every portion of media. So whether that's radio, television, movies, podcasting, whatever. I've always... I always want to learn it so I know it, so at least I can have the conversations. Successes and failures, and I've had plenty of both. But that's kind of was one of my driving focuses for podcasting. I was a huge podcast fan from, 10, 12 years ago, from the beginning, since 2005, actually, of the show I host, the Disney show, WW Today, was one of the first podcasts I started listening to, which is fun now to host it. But that's... That was sort of my first foray. Occasionally, my pop on. My wife had a podcast for a little while with her ministry that she had for young girls. So that kind of got my feet wet a little bit. I don't vlog. I kind of have toyed with it recently, but I don't know if that's my medium. But one thing I do when I go and I do speak to some, you know, either kids or organizations or whatever it is especially the younger people that are like, man, I want to make this short film. Like, I have a pretty strict no, I don't crowdfund a short film. And this is when crowdfunding was the time, because I kind of, unless it's like you're making this amazing epic, but if you're making things, like, you have a phone, you can make a movie. We started talking about the Young Bucks earlier. They've been doing Being the Elite, which has hundreds of thousands of views also. Those guys, up until this week, were making it completely on their phone, like the editing, everything. And, you know, they have their merchandise available in malls nationwide. So I kind of have felt that way about it. But yeah, I kind of just got in because I've always wanted to try it. And, I had a very brief Universal podcast 5 years ago that my wife, we found out we were expecting, and that kind of derailed that for a little while, but we were able to come back around. So, And I also like talking to people, and I like, it hones my hosting skills. And it also, I like talking about stuff that I like talking about, like talking to Bart. I like talking about Horror Nights, and I like talking about Disney. So, you won't really hear me doing podcasts about stuff that, isn't fun for me, because it's not like it's like a lot of big money in it for us. It's just fun. A little bit,
right?
Not much. All right. Let's see if there's, I know we got to wrap up. See if there's any kind of last minute ones. Hey, this is a good one. Maybe we can come on. We can answer some of these other ones later, but this is a good one to end because we talk so much about horror and everything tonight, this day. They said, what is, no, that's not a good one. Where is it? Dang it. I missed it. It said pretty much, what's our favorite film? Here it is. Favorite movie around fall, Halloween time to watch. Do you have any that you watch every year?
I mean, I always watch The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah.
Around Halloween. Because it's a Halloween movie. It's not a Christmas movie.
I watch it usually more around Christmas.
Really? It just bothers me. I always watch, you know, we on Halloween night, especially, or at least like the weekend before Halloween, my son and I will always watch one of the Potter movies. We really like to watch three. I think that's the one where they have, oh no, I guess it's one where they have the Halloween feast, and because that's when the troll was in the basement, but or in the dungeon. But we like to watch three a lot around Halloween, maybe because there's a werewolf in it. But But otherwise, yeah, those are pretty much the two, Nightmare Before Christmas and Harry Potter. Because I don't really watch, I don't normally watch a lot of horror movies because the kids are always around.
Yeah.
I mean, my favorite horror, I don't even have a favorite horror movie. It's Halloween. I love Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, because it's not about Michael Myers.
It's ridiculous.
That's a good one for Halloween. Yeah.
mine are pretty eclectic. Now, speaking of the Potter movies, my wife just watched pretty much the entire series this weekend because it was the Potter weekend again. Which I feel like it's Potter weekend mm-hmm. every weekend.
Yeah, on Freeform.
And man, I have to say, like, I got to give it up mostly. And I've been to, like, the tour and everything and talk when they talk about it. You got to give it up to the stinking guys who selected that cast. Because the fact that they were all able to pull it off so well, and you're casting them when they're, you know, 9 years old, and they were able to pull it off in that series. It's just remarkable. Like, when you start to think about that series more in depth, I know this isn't answering the question, but it's as someone who has dabbled in making movies – it is mind-blowing that they were able to keep that thing together and make, you know, even the worst of the Harry Potter movies is still a darn good movie. You know, it is an impressive thing, to say the least. The fact that the three leads all went on to be terrific actors. You know, no one in that group really stunk. Everyone was either really good or great. It's just remarkable. I did see tickets are going on sale for the play on Broadway for Cursed Child. I know you haven't read it yet,
but I'll
be attending that. I would like to see it. But to answer my question or your question to me, I watch Ghostbusters pretty much every year. I know it's not really super horror. Sometimes I watch Bill and Ted just because it doesn't really make any sense, but it does. It's associated with Horror Nights, but has nothing to do with horror. But the one I pretty much watch every year would be the Rocky Horror Picture Show. I watch that.
Oh, sure.
Either if I don't get to go out, I don't really like our cast here locally that does it. So I don't usually go to the theater to see it, but I'm one of those few people that loves the movie. And a lot of people just love to go to the live experience and yell out profanities and all that, which is fun and it's a good time. But I love that musical. Like, I love the songs from it. I listen to the soundtrack a lot during the Halloween season. That's just a movie that it means a lot to me in a weird way that I've always loved it since I was a teenager. And that one is probably I love Jaws and some other horror movies, but they're not really Halloween movies. But my Halloween one is Rocky Horror is just, I associate Halloween with it. So that's, I think.
All right,
that's
real
mine.
Quick though. Let me ask you really quick, just a quick response. Did you watch and what did you think of the live, or it wasn't live, but the remake thing they did last fall?
It was Fox. It was awful. It was atrocious,
right?
It was. I'm going to see Adam Lambert tonight, so he actually did a pretty good job as Eddie. I don't like the arrangement.
Yeah.
I know people hate that I name drop. I'm not going to name drop it, but the director of it with Kenny Ortega, he's a really great director and was making, pretty much High School Musical as Rocky Horror, and that just didn't work. I have a lot. I mean, I could go on for hours of why. I mean, my wife and I didn't finish it, and we were like super pumped to sit down and watch it. Tim Curry's parts were good. I'm glad he was in it. But overwhelmingly, it was very, very difficult to watch. And again, they changed stuff that, like, I understand if you change certain things to me on Fox Television, because there's some things I understand that there's not a ton of profanity in it, a couple curse words here and there. There's like one F-bomb. But other than that, it's pretty. You know, that's not hard to change. No one been offended at that. But the stuff they did change, or the stuff that they just altered for, like, even just the melodies of the songs, like, that's the stuff that kind of got to me. It's like, no, just – I don't know. And even, like, you know, Dr. Frankenfurter was played by the woman from Orange is the New Black. And, yeah, who I think is a terrific actress. And – what I mainly, though, thought was odd about that, which is, it's interesting to think about when, you know, you guys can deal with this however you want to, is there was something shocking about Tim Curry in that role. And with Laverne Cox, it was very much like, it felt like a very feminine character. Like, it felt like a woman. And that says, you know, a lot of things. But to me, like, that you need almost the shock value of Tim Curry to make that character work right. Like, he was definitely a masculine – he was a man. Or was he? Whatever. He was in – you know, spoilers. He was an alien. But
–
right. Like, it's a – so it kind of just changed that whole dynamic, where it just didn't have that same kind of punch. And like all of a sudden Riff Raff is playing the electric guitar. Like I was just like, what am I? Like, yeah. Like this is where it just went a little like, I mean, I could go on and on. Thankfully, that's 7 months I've been waiting to argue about that.
It's weird because I actually loved the opening.
Yes.
I loved the change instead of just a mouth.
Yes.
I loved that girl singing that song. I thought that part, I was like, I really am liking this.
Which
this
is similar to how it is like good. In the stage show. They have like,
okay.
Yeah, they have like the girl. So like, I liked that a lot. No, I thought it opened strong.
Yeah, but then all of a sudden it just was like, okay, yeah. Never mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't watch long at all. I think I bailed by the first commercial break.
I made it through, maybe, I made it pretty decently. We made it probably halfway through it. And then just.
I definitely didn't see Eddie. Let's put it, I know I didn't see Adam Lambert.
That's pretty close. Himself, so. That's like 20 minutes in. But
yeah.
But he was sort of one of the few that I was like, okay, he pulled it off, but I don't like the way they changed the song. But I thought he was a good casting.
Yeah.
But it is what it was. But I'm a fan of the original film. I've stayed in that hotel.
Gosh.
That is the hotel, that is the house, that is his.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a hotel in wow. Windsor, England, called the Oakley Court. My wife and I found it. We were over there. I was doing a class at Oxford, and like it just popped up on like one of our feeds. I was like, what? Like, this is real? Like, I never thought to dig into that being real. And it's where they shot most of the movie. So the entire entranceway to the mansion, and like actually the front of the house is the back kind of. I'll send you some pictures. I was and like they have some Rocky Horror themed drinks. Tons of movies were shot there. I think Murder by Death was shot there, because it was connected to a big film studio. The only thing that wasn't shot there from Rocky Horror was I think the pool sequence, because that wasn't there.
Hmm.
But it's, or maybe the ballroom, the time warp ballroom sequence. But like the dining room, all of that was this. I mean, I love that hotel. I'd stay there. I'd stay there again. No air conditioning, really, but you know, it's England. So, all right.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like England. I've now gone on my tried and true rant about musical theater too much on this episode.
Yeah.
You start with Adina, and we end with Rocky Horror.
This has barely been like a Halloween themed episode.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's the start of the
season.
Maybe
we should shelve this one until. Yeah, that's true. It is. We're getting there.
Yeah. He's not so scary. I know Gary.
I know that
starts in 10 days.
That's true. It's, oh my gosh, that's insane.
Is that true? I think it's true.
It's going to be so hot. That's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
I know that that Florida guy asked us a question too, but maybe we can say it. He asked us what our favorite film franchise from when we were children was.
Ooh.
But, and I was actually thinking about it because I don't, when I was a kid, there weren't really franchises as much as other than Star Wars.
Yeah, I agree. Like everything that I loved maybe had a sequel. Unless you can't like.
Had what?
Like yeah. Ghostbusters, I don't really. I mean, it's a. There was Ghostbusters 2 or Bill and Ted, which I loved, or Wayne's World. Some of these ones are my favorite movies when I was kids, but they never really went beyond the second one.
No, and I was already a teenager when those sequels came out. But I did think of one. It took me a while, but there was, a franchise, even though every movie was a standalone.
Uh-huh.
There was one franchise when I was a kid, all the Muppet movies.
Oh, good call.
Because I saw, of the original ones, I saw them all in the theater. The original Muppet movie, which I, to this day, remember. I mean, I was little.
Yeah.
But I think I might have been 4 or 5. I remember when Animal's head comes out of that building at the end. It scared the crap out of me.
I watched that movie this weekend.
Really?
Yeah. My son was really into it when he was little. Like the Muppet movie from like 2010 or 11. But also the original Muppets, Muppet movie.
Yeah.
And my wife sings my kids Rainbow Connection like every night before they go to bed. So. But my son was really into it when he was a kid, like a little baby. Like he loved the Muppets. He still does, but he really loved it. Then. Didn't get any of the jokes, but just something about the characters and the music. So I flipped it on. I was like, maybe they'll like it. And my daughters, who are two, or almost two, were just like all in. They loved it. That movie is still so funny. It holds up so well. Really, most of the Muppet movies are still great. But yeah, I mean, Muppets Take Manhattan.
Great Muppet.
Oh,
a million times.
That's a good one. And then the Disney ones kind of set in.
Yeah.
Was there one between the Muppet Caper and like Muppets in Space? Muppet Treasure Island?
There was, well, okay, it was the Muppet movie, Great Muppet Caper, Muppets Take Manhattan. Yeah. Those were the originals. Those were with Jim Henson.
That's the trilogy.
Yeah, that's the trilogy. That's the real trilogy. And then you have off canon. You've got the Muppets Christmas Carol, which I love.
Oh, that's great.
First one, but the first one without Jim Henson, with Steve Whitmire, which we won't get into. And then it was Muppet Treasure Island, which I like. It's not a strong movie, but it has some really strong scenes.
Tim Curry also, right? Was Tim Curry in that? Yeah.
Tim Curry. Yeah. Tim Curry as Long John Silver. The opening sequence is fantastic. I sing that song all the time. And Billy Connolly is in the first few minutes, too, as I can't think of his name. He's a famous character in Treasure Island. I feel like an idiot now. But Billy Bones. And really? then they did Muppets from Space, which I haven't even seen to this day.
I saw it.
And I don't want to. Right. Of course you did. And then they did Muppets Wizard of Oz, which went straight to video.
Yeah, I didn't see
it. Didn't even get a theatrical release. And then they stopped for a while until Disney took over with
the Muppets.
Jason Segel. I kept wanting to say Jason Lee. That's somebody else.
Yeah,
he's doing Alvin and the Chipmunks now.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I haven't been crazy about either of the Disney Muppet movies. I mean, I like them, I guess. I liked the second one better than the first.
Really?
They're not good.
Oh, I totally disagree. I love the first one.
I love Ty Burrell.
I thought the first
Muppets. Love Ty Burrell.
The first one. Muppets, like the Muppets with Jason Segel, the music in that, I just love that whole movie. Like, I don't know. It's one of my favorites. Oh, that's Heartbreaker. Muppets Most Wanted, which is, it was all right. But, I mean, that was not.
I just love Ty Burrell and Sam the Eagle. I think they're hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There were some, I mean, great moments in it. It was more, maybe that's why. That movie felt more like a classic Muppet movie.
Mm-hmm.
Where the other ones felt more like a nostalgia trip. And that's why I really liked the Muppets. Because the Muppets, like, the first one, like, made me cry in the theater. I'm man enough to say it. I was about to go into more of a diatribe about Muppets in Space. But I just got called into another meeting. But there is the main reason I saw it, and this is going to be a shocker to everyone, because there are cameo appearances by Hollywood Hulk Hogan and by Goldberg. So that's why I saw it originally in theaters. Well, I also saw Goldberg in Universal Soldier: The Return.
Hornswoggle was in Muppets Most Wanted.
He was.
So there's wrestling.
Yeah. Tim's friend, Hornswoggle.
So.
All right. What did we learn today?
I don't know. We've learned.
We learned a lot about musicals.
We learned Logan loves musicals, and we learned you like the Rocky Horror Picture Show. That kind of shocked me, but in a good way. That I love the Saw movies, even though I don't like horror movies. So, even though they just got more and more ridiculous, I do love them. I enjoyed every one. So, and I can't wait to see Jigsaw. I almost said Hornswoggle. he deserves a franchise too, I think.
Oh, I'm all for a Swoggle franchise.
That's it. Oh yeah, he's Swoggle now. He's not Hornswoggle.
I can't say that.
Sorry, Vince.
Get in trouble. All right.
So anyway, well, that's it, folks. I gotta get back to work. Logan's gotta get to a meeting. He's gotta get caught up on all the Saw films so we can discuss them at length next week.
That's my goal this week.
Yeah, sure. I bet. You and Amanda will sit down with a big bowl of popcorn.
Oh, yeah. She'll love it.
Watch people lose their entrails. But anyway, that's it, folks. Speaking of entrails, we hope you enjoyed your lunch. See you next week.